Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being here so that we can study God's Word together. Mr. Dave was saying thanks for the water as he was going down. There is an unspoken rule that preachers take care of the song leaders. It's great for you to be here. Thankful for your presence. A few quick announcements that we need to make. Miss Cynthia had texted me about Melanie. Melanie's doing great. She's continuing to progress as she needs to. And she wanted to express thanks to everyone here for praying for her and for thinking about her. Also, in regards to the Light the Fire, that is rapidly approaching. The deadline for early registration for the congregation here is next Sunday. So the cost is $45. You get it to me then. That also guarantees you a t-shirt. After that time for the congregation here, I'm not going to charge you a late fee. But I can't get you a t-shirt at that point, okay? Also, those who are not going to camp but who wanted one of the t-shirts, that order form is on the out in the foyer on the podium, and the deadline for that is next Sunday also. And the prices for the shirts are on there. Just make the check out to Ripley. Our young people, I hope you're planning on coming. I'm assuming that everyone's just waiting till next Sunday to get me your applications, with the exception of a couple that... which I haven't even filled out my own kids yet. So, also, let me say this. If the $45 is a hindrance to your coming, come talk to me. We'll figure that out. I don't want the dollar amount to be something that keeps someone who wants to come from coming. And so, if that's the issue, come talk to me and we'll work that out. Also, a reminder, since I'm in charge of this event, I have to go early. Camp, I help make sure that everyone's got transportation. For this, you own your own, okay? So you have to make your own way there and your own way back. For those who are coming to pick up children, we do have a worship service on Sunday morning there. If that will make it easier for you to be there within the pickup window, feel free to come. I think now with our worship service getting out at 11:30, you probably got plenty of time to get there. But if that will make it easier, by all means, come, because we'll have a worship service there, and that might make it easier for you to hit that window for pickup. Because while I love your children, when it's time to go, it's time to go, okay? So you have to come get them. One final thing. I want to say thank you to those. I know that Shannon and Melissa had a big hand in it, and anyone else that did. The game night that we had Friday night, I appreciate us having that. That was a great fun. It was a lot of games being played and just laughter and talking and having a great time together as Christians. And so I appreciate that. One quick story. So we were playing a game called Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. And the main thing you need to understand about the game is it involves slapping a card. Okay? You have to slap cards. Mr. Steve was playing with us as well. At one point, Mr. Steve slapped so hard trying to get his hand in before other people that his watch thought he had fallen and started calling 911.
911 called me back.
And so he tried to cancel it, but he could not get it canceled quick enough. And so they end up calling him back. So Ripley Congregation game nights are so fun that 911 gets called. Fire is something that we see mentioned throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. And while many times it is mentioned in reference to the meteorological event, it is also many times symbolic of other things. In the Old Testament, we see that very early on in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, after the sin of Adam and Eve, the Bible says that He, God, drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, He placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Fire here representing God's prohibition. Later on in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 19, we have Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, destroyed with fire and brimstone, a symbol of God's judgment and punishment. In the book of Exodus, we see numerous times throughout the book of Exodus, of fire being used. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, we see as Moses is out tending the flocks, that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. As you come to chapter 13, as the children of Israel have left Egyptian bondage, it was fire that God used at night to lead them. Exodus 13 and verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they may travel by night and by day. Here, fire being used to show the presence of God in both of those passages. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we see a passage where fire once again refers to God's judgment. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Many other verses in the Old Testament, we see this idea of fire being used to show different things concerning God. We come to the New Testament and it's no different. In Matthew chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12, as Jesus is speaking, John the Baptist is speaking about Jesus. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Once again, here fire showing God's judgment and punishment. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, we see fire being mentioned again. The apostles here were on the day of Pentecost, and as they're being inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, showing God's approval and power here. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, so that they tested the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, and perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here fire being shown as a purifier, something that tests and proves us. As we look at this idea, we see God's presence, His power, His judgment, His approval, His punishment. All of these things and others are pictured with fire in God's Word. This morning I want us to key in though on a different passage. One found in Jeremiah chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter 20, to understand what's taking place, we need to back up a chapter to Jeremiah chapter 19. In chapter 19, God has instructed Jeremiah to deliver a prophecy concerning the destruction of Judah. And he has done this using pottery. He took a pottery vessel that he had bought and purchased, and he shattered it. And said that this is what the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, were going to do to the land of Judah. Now, of course, this angered some people. And as we come to chapter 20, the chief priest in the temple, Pashur, he has Jeremiah beaten because of what he's prophesied. And not only that, he throws him into the stocks that are located there close to the temple. And he leaves him there all day. And the next day when he releases him, Jeremiah once again prophesies, not just of the destruction of Judah though, but more specifically the destruction of Pashur. And in verses 7 and 8, Jeremiah has kind of had his fill. He's just about come to the point where he's decided, I'm done telling the people about God. He says, O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. Jeremiah says, because of what you're telling me to say, God, I'm catching all kinds of problems as a result of it. And so what does Jeremiah think he's going to do? Verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. Jeremiah says, that's my idea. I'm just going to quit talking about him. I'm not going to mention God anymore. He says, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Jeremiah here says there is a fire inside of him. It represents his desire, a desire, a want to follow God, to do what God says, to proclaim God's word faithfully. Reminded me of what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, New King James says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Friends, if we're going to follow God faithfully, there has to be a want to. There has to be a desire. There has to be a fire within us in order to do that. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. A desire, a want to have in order to be pleasing to our Lord and Savior. We want to talk about how to build a fire and keep it burning. 3 points that we want to notice together. We're going to notice part of that this morning. We'll notice the remainder of it this evening. Number one, we want to begin with starting a fire. If you're going to build a fire, there are some things that you're going to need in order to build that. Now, physically speaking, if we're going to build a fire, we need tinder. A tinder is things like leaves, pine needles, small twigs. Things that burn very easily, but also burn really fast. You're going to need some kindling. And when you come to kindling, we're talking about small sticks now, usually less than an inch in diameter. Once again, something that burns very easily, but also quickly. And then, of course, if you're going to have a fire, you got to have a spark. Now, whether that be taking a knife and striking flint, whether that be a lighter or a match, whatever it may be, we're going to need something to ignite that fire. Well, what does that look like spiritually speaking? Well, friends, God's word provides the spark. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Without God's word, there can be no true fire within us. I heard a preacher one time says that there is no faith apart from thus says the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that God's word is connected to our faith. Without God's word, there cannot be that spark. Now that spark begins, of course, when one becomes a Christian. Or when one comes back to Christ after being away. But that spark, that initial fire, can be helped with a lot of different things that we can take advantage of. A lot of different tinder and kindling. Things like gospel meetings. I'm sure you've experienced it. I know I have. We have someone come in for a gospel meeting and it's encouraging. Builds us up. Maybe helps to stoke that fire within us to get it burning more again. That can be beneficial. Lectureships. There are lectureships all over the brotherhood that you can attend. Different conferences. I think specifically about polishing the pulpit that we go to every year. But things along those lines. All of these things that can build us up. Ladies' Day and Men's Days. Yes, the other one happens as well. Those can be things that can be a positive experience, can help us to stoke that fire. Maybe a particular sermon or maybe a particular Bible class that you sit in on, and that sermon or that Bible class really helps to get you going, and you're like, here we go, let's live our lives as we know we should. Camps, retreats, plug for light the fire there. Those things can be things that help to get this fire going. The thing about all of these is the fact that they end, right? At polishing the pulpit, the analogy is always made to the mountaintop. That you're there, it's a mountaintop experience, but at some point you have to leave the mountain and go back into the valley, right? And that's the thing with all of these. They all at some point come to an end. And don't misunderstand me. These are good things. These are needed things. They can provide that boost. A much-needed shot in the arm, but they cannot provide what is needed to keep the fire going indefinitely. My dad and I, one time, this was after I had graduated high school, after I had gone on to college. I was on my way home one time, and as I was driving along, suddenly the lights started getting dimmer. And soon, all the warning lights came on, and the car shut off. So I called Dad, not knowing what was going on. He came out, And pretty quickly, he figured out that the alternator had gone out. Of course, if you don't know anything about cars, quick lesson, the alternator, while the car is running, is charging the battery. Because the battery does not have infinite power. It drains as it's being used. But the alternator helps to charge that. Well, if the alternator goes out, there's nothing charging the battery. So being out in the country on the side of the road, that's not the place to change the alternator. And so we would put the jumper cables on the car, wait about 10 or 15 minutes. He'd take them off, I'd jump in the car, and I'd take off. And I would go as far as I could until, guess what, the battery ran down again. And he would catch up to me, put the jumper cables back on. You see the process? We did that all the way home. Friends, that's no way to drive a car. Going from charge to charge. And it's also no way to live the Christian life. We need something more. Fire at this point is at its most vulnerable stage. Without anything changing, that fire will consume all of the tinder, all of the kindling, and it will go out. So that raises the question, what do we do? That brings us to our second point, and that is sustaining a fire. After the fire begins, it is important to give that fire the things that are needed to sustain that flame. Now, in the physical sense, that means adding logs. We're putting more substantial wood on here now. And also, a fire needs oxygen in order for it to burn. And as we think about our lives spiritually, there are some things that we need to do to feed that flame within us. Four things that I want us to notice together. We're just going to notice two of those this morning. Of these four things, it can be our logs and our oxygen. I heard them used the first time by Bobby O'Dell, who we know, who's done gospel meetings and VBS with us many times. I used to always give him credit until I found them in a book, a lectureship book from 1996, before I heard Bobby use them. And they were used there by B.J. Clark. And I have a feeling if I really did started digging, I would find another book somewhere even farther back where someone else used them, because these four things are four very basic things that we've studied before, but they will help us to keep the fire burning. Number one, we need to say something to God every day. We need to say something to God every day. One of the greatest blessings and privileges that you have as a child of God is the avenue of prayer. To be able to speak to the God of heaven and to know that He listens and that He cares, that He is concerned, that He wants to help. Friends, that is amazing to me. The Alpha and Omega, the beginner, the end, the creator of everything, spoke it into existence, is willing to listen to me. I feel like I can't even get my kids to listen sometimes. And yet here's God, the creator of it all, and He wants to hear from me. Do you get that? Not only does He listen, I mean, we've all got people in our life, they'll listen to us. But sometimes they're like, as we're talking, that's not our God. Not only is He willing to listen, He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. Friends, prayer is so important. Listen to me, church. You cannot live a faithful Christian life without a prayer life. I didn't misspeak. Did you hear me? You cannot live a faithful Christian life without a prayer life. It is an impossibility. As one preacher put it one time, prayer will either make a man leave off sinning, or sinning will make a man leave off praying. In Luke 18 and verse 1, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart there, the word faint in some translations. It literally means to be remiss in one's duty. Notice what Jesus connects. Prayer with not being remiss in one's duty. What does that mean? If I leave off prayer, then I am going to be remiss in what I should be doing. Friends, it is so hard to do wrong when you're praying to do right. After telling the Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. You remember the passage in Ephesians chapter 6? I mean, he goes into this great descriptive detail of all of these different pieces of armor that we're to put on. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, our loins girded up with the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, all of these things, he's telling us we need to suit up in all of this armor. But after he said all of that, you know you're not ready to go into battle yet. Because then in Ephesians 6:18 he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. He says, after you've guarded up and got it all on, you're ready to go. You're not ready until you get on your knees. That's when you're ready. Friends, prayer is so vital. It's so important. Can't be overemphasized. Paul summed it up this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the end of the book of Thessalonians. He's just like, it's like a shotgun approach to all these different admonitions that they need to be doing. And in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Now you and I understand, if we take that absolutely literally, that's not possible. I mean, we're going to sleep at some point. What's he saying? We should have a constant attitude of prayer. You want to keep the fire burning. Number one, you need to say something to God every day. Number two, let God say something to you every day. Let God say something to you every day. I'm not talking about some quiet voice in the still of the night. The Bible is very clear in the book of Hebrews that while God talked to people in that way in the past, He no longer does that today. In fact, in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, He tells us that today He talks to us through His Son. Now, how does that work? Well, where do we have those words? Right here. If we're going to let God say something to us every day, then we've got to spend time in the Word that He gave us. Studying God's Word is one of the essential elements to producing faithfulness. I know as a guy, and other guys will understand this, if we buy something that has to be assembled, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that we can assemble said item without looking at said directions. And normally that does not end well. Normally that involves it falling apart or us having to take it apart because we didn't put all the pieces in that were supposed to go in. Men and women, read the instructions. You can't get to heaven without them. You need them. We need to spend time in God's Word. Psalm 119 is a psalm that deals solely with God's Word, His commandments. In verse 11 it says, I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember Jesus in Matthew 4 when He's tempted? You remember how He answered each temptation? It is written. He used God's Word. Psalm 119, 101 to 105, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He continues in verse 128, therefore I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. The psalmist, they're illustrating for us the importance, the necessity of God's word in our lives. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It's not just enough to read it. It's not just enough to hear it spoken from a pulpit or from a Bible class. But friends, we need to apply those things. As I've told you before, you get a prescription for medicine and you just sit it on the shelf and look at it. You can read the label. You can even look at the medicine. But if you don't take it according to the prescription, it's not going to do you any good. Friends, we can take this book. We can put it on the nightstand next to us where we sleep. We can open it occasionally and thumb through its pages. But until we apply the prescription, that's not going to help us. That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best, be diligent to present yourself to God is one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed." Why not? Because he's rightly handling the word of truth. The word of God is described as a two-edged sword, correct? You know, if you gave me a two-edged sword and wanted me to do some tricks with it, odds are really good we're going to the emergency room after a while. I don't know how to use a sword. I've never used a sword. I've never practiced with a sword. Yeah, as a child, I had sticks that were my swords, but I've never done that. Now, I've seen people who can do amazing things with swords. Why? Because they practice? Because they've learned that skill. Well, if we want to rightly handle God's sword, we got to spend some time looking at it, don't we? We got to spend some time studying. We got to spend some time in that book. Friends, if we want to keep the fire burning, we need to say something to God every day. And we need to let God say something to us every day. That's how you begin to build a fire. That's how you keep it burning. But let me ask you this morning, is that fire within you? Friend, if you're not a Christian, you can begin that journey today. You can start that fire believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin, confessing that belief, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've done that. We'll talk about tonight some things that can make that fire go out, but the truth is that happens. So sometimes we drift away. That fire dwindles and it dies. But here's the awesome thing about that. You can start it back up. Friend, it doesn't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. Why not come back home this morning? Let's build a fire together. Let's keep it burning. Let's live faithfully every day for the God of heaven. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.